Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Whoops, whoops, whoops.
Live from Churchill Downs for Kentucky Derby 150, it's the Horse Racing Happy Hour on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Here are your hosts, Louis Ribeau and Mike Gandolfo.
All right, welcome back in Horse Racing Happy Hour here live, Section 322, Churchill Downs. On Kentucky Derby 150 day here with you. I want to thank our sponsors, and we will talk to him at 12:30, Dr. Chet Mays, Mays Plastic Surgery and Med Spa. Make sure you get in with him. New location on Exley, where the old Havana Rumba used to be, down the street from the old Sears building. Look how I did that.
You're killing it, man.
At Dr. Chet Mays on all of the socials. That's really how he gets all of his stuff out. Like I said, he's going to call us at 12:30, so make sure you get in on that. But we are, look...
Well, I mean,
why don't you do the intro here,
because
Mike?
Because honestly, like, I'm not here if it's not for this guy coming up.
No
right
question.
Now.
And it's not, neither of us are here if it's not for this
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, I mean, you're not here if it's not for me.
No.
I mean,
yep.
And this is the last Derby covered by. Like, This is a backside celebrity. This is a walking encyclopedia for horse racing. This is a guy who knows more about race and this track than anyone that I've ever met that's still alive. I guess Billy Reid would probably be in the
Billy Reid's in that conversation for sure,
yeah.
Yes.
But there's Billy Reid and there's E.J. Clark, and E.J. carrying things on on the Big X 1450.
Big X, crushing.
There's a lot of crossover that the Derby coverage with us. And EJ, man, I'm just so proud to have you on our show and just have you.
I'm proud to be on your show, too. Really am. You know, you guys are special to me because we brought something. I'm still proud of what we were able to do. I'm still proud of the fact that we could have a combination between ESPN Louisville and Big X Sports Radio,
yeah,
and put together 2 hours of recap,
yep,
with the live Oaks and the live Derby post-race interviews and sit there and give some great information and have fun.
Had a lot of fun. And really, like...
But I don't think we won as much money as Louie, because as I recall, Louie was really having the better days there.
It's going okay. Yeah, it's going okay.
It's
going okay. Yeah. Well, EJ Clark is with us, man. I'm just really, really pleased to have him in here. Everything from getting you on the air the first time to writing a letter so that we could be members of the Turf Riders together.
Oh, yeah. We're both part of the Turf Riders Association.
That's right.
Because of EJ. And
yeah.
I mean, it's really – you've taught me so much, man. You've taught me so much, and you've been a mentor for
me. Well,
I
mean, you know what? I don't know if I taught you. Maybe you could pick up on a few of the things, but you came on board knowing a lot. I mean, you really did, and you really added a lot, and so did Louis. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to make that – coming down the stretch here. We'll wait on that.
Let's go. Yeah, coming the Knicks go overnight stakes. The seven's going to come up and pick up the pieces here.
Maybe.
It's going to be a good finish.
Ooh, one still
the
there.
Wire.
Re-rally.
Hey.
5-1. Oh, we're out of the wire. One hole.
One got it. Louie. Actually, EJ, you don't see that very often.
1-7. I think.
One answered the call, though.
Strong quality. There
yeah.
you go. Fourth horse in our handicapping. Yeah, I did not have that one on top for sure.
So there you go.
There you go. We were talking about how that was one of the more difficult races to figure out, one
right.
of the more competitive ones today, and we got the 6-1 price. We'll take or 5-1 price. We'll take it.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah.
So there is strong quality with the win there in the Knicks go overnight. First stakes race of the day. What does this 2 days of races mean to you?
Well, it always means a lot because, you know, the Kentucky Derby, not only the tradition of the Derby and the Oaks, but the Kentucky Derby has not only, you've seen all the changes in 3 decades for me, of how the undercard has gotten better and better,
right.
with the quality of racing, what you've seen is trainers go from people like Brad Cox today to Todd Pletcher in a few years, and you can see them develop. I was able to be there at the beginning of Bob Baffert's run in 1997 with Silver Charm, walk over with Silver Charm, recorded the crowd. I'll never forget, we got around the first turn, and they're going, go California, go Silver, go this, go that. I mean, these are the kind of memories that you cherish. These are the kind of memories. There's so many more. I was fortunate enough to work six Dawn at the Downs, and I ran the last Derby mini marathon in 93 and started in 94 and did that for 6 years and did the Breeders' Cup.
Nice.
Right here at Churchill Downs when they had special editions of Dawn at the Downs. To see my first Breeders' Cup race here when they held it the first time in 1988 in the rain. And really, I didn't know much that year. I was learning the game.
Sure.
But I hung in there the whole day. And I tell you what is the most gratifying. The most gratifying is to see you, Mike, and you, Louie, and people like Lane Gold, and people like Caleb Keller, and Justin, our producer, come along and take this. Because you guys, and I'm getting a little sentimental here, I'm getting a little corny, but that's what my kids call me, corny dad sometimes. So you guys are carrying the torch. You guys are carrying it with live broadcast and podcast. And you are the guys that's going to take this forward.
We're going to do our best, man.
You know, Mike and I are really lucky because with the happy hour, we've been able to make friends all over the country. And one of our favorite things about horse racing is how it's different in San Diego than it is in Miami, than it is in New Orleans, than it is here, than it is in Indianapolis, right? All these sorts of things. And you know what? I have friends in Southern California who do this, and they're about to retire, and the state of the sport is not good for them.
No, it's not good.
But EJ, you're retiring at a time when the circuit's never been better here. You've got this place really doing what it should have been doing for a long time with the purses, with the field sizes, with those things. You've got Keeneland, that's always going to be Keeneland, right? You've got the pea patch, but even the pea patch is a little nicer. We get the renovation at Turfway, and then we get that weird thing in the middle with Kentucky Downs. Right, we get that five-track circuit here. You get to retire and sit on the couch and watch these races and go, this circuit's great. It's going to be great. That's got to feel really good, too.
It does feel really good. And let's go back in time. Let's go back in time to the Gulfstream Parks and the fairgrounds, one of Churchill's tracks, who had the casinos. And they had the benefit of gambling. Oaklawn's done very well. But what has helped Kentucky racing? Historical racing.
Right. Yep.
And we didn't have the casinos, but we've had historical horse racing to give us the impetus to have the greatest and the best purse races in the country.
You know, I talk all the time about it with anybody who will listen, but the thing that Kentucky gets that, say, Southern California doesn't, this isn't a sport just that you show up on Saturday. This is an industry. This is a lifestyle. We, you know, I made the joke several times on our show during the week. When you walk inside the walls of Churchill Downs, you're walking into a new city. Just tons of people, tons of different jobs, all from all parts of the world, kinds of different jobs. Really fascinating.
It is. Louis, you're right about the new city part, but for me also, I feel the history.
Mm.
If I don't go over to the Derby Museum and watch that Derby presentation and get goosebumps or come out a little teary-eyed, something's wrong.
There you go.
I like to walk still on the bricks because I remember how far this racetrack has grown, and everything they've done has been fabulous. That first turn last year, absolutely great. But you talk about the thing, and I have to agree with what Darren Rogers said when he took us on the media tour. His favorite thing that changed the game was that big jumbotron.
Yes, no, it absolutely did.
No question.
This paddock has changed the game
and
put Churchill Downs on a level nobody else is on this level with the paddock and the way they've improved it and the experience. And really, you know, for Kentucky, it's horse racing, it's bourbon. And what's that about? It's about the experience that these people who come to Louisville and to Lexington and all these other places And I'll take my check from the Chamber of Commerce on Monday. Well,
we're having
we're getting some Chamber of Commerce weather all of a sudden. So there you go.
The Commissioner of Agriculture is going to be coming on 1 o'clock. But that's that's his two jobs, horse racing and bourbon, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So there it is.
You guys know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
You know, you really do.
100%, yes.
You know.
Well, but, and looking forward in the sport, okay? So if you were forecasting forward, something I always say is just get people in the door. Just get people in the door. Who cares if they're here for fashion? Who cares if they're here for that bourbon? Just get them in the door because there's a chance they'll fall in love with the horses too, right? And do you think the emphasis on the event is a good move in horse racing? Because, look, it's not the 70s anymore. It's not that Breeders' Cup of the 80s that you talked about where Wednesday guys are just cutting out at noon at work and coming over here to catch the early pick five or something and having three martinis or something. Those days aren't happening anymore. People are betting on their phones. They're at home. But they show up for these events. Is that an okay turn in horse racing?
Yeah, I think it is. I think we have to get them in. Hey, listen, guys. Yeah. I started way back when. I won't tell you the year. I started out there with the mud, the blood, and the beer and having a ball.
Darn right.
Okay, and not seeing too many horses, but it was a party out there when there was very few things out there, and it was pretty much wide open. I wasn't a horse racing expert. I always wanted to come to the Kentucky Derby, and my first one was actually my third year in the Air Force when I was home on leave, and I'd spent the winter on Guam, and I was ready to come home and have a party. The party aspect, whether it's in the infield or whether it's in a fine box or a great day, that's got to get them in the door. And after that, it's up to track management. It's up to a quality racing program. It's up to other elements to make sure that those people come back, have a great experience, and want to learn more about horse racing. And I think we're getting better and better. You know, we've gotten better and better over the years with safety. We've been 10, 15 years really emphasizing aftercare, finding jobs for these horses. And I think it's happening. Do we have work to do? Yeah,
oh,
we
yeah,
got
absolutely.
Some more work to do. We want them to come back other than Derby and Oaks
That's
and
right.
Breeders' Cup.
That's right.
All right, EJ, who's your pick in the Derby?
Or give
My
us the top
overall
three
pick
here.
Is going to be Sierra Leone.
Okay.
I'm betting Fierceness to win. I think he either wins and runs big or he doesn't hit the board. Sierra Leone, I'm gonna put in with him and some exotics. Domestic product is some I'm going to use Mystic Dan.
Okay.
And what I'm trying to not do, as I've told everybody, I'm trying not to overbet against myself.
Well, he's E.J. Clark, man.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks for jumping on. It means so, so much. We really are massive fans and really appreciative of your time here in the Commonwealth. So
exactly.
He's early. We're just going to go. Let's go. Yeah, this is Derby.
Right.
Let's
now.
Go. So thank you so much. We're going to get Commissioner Schell in here. Jonathan Schell now joins us. I don't have a page up about this guy, so we're gonna fly by the seats of our pants. So get that out of here. We're going to let Commissioner Schell get in here. Do you need to sit down? You want to stand? You can do whatever you want. All right. How about that?
This happened very organically. It's okay if I call you Jonathan. I'm not sure.
Go ahead and grab this and hold it
right there.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
We were just talking. We met on Thurby, actually.
Yeah,
what
sure.
kind of happened. And we started having some conversations. And
do me a favor. Take this off so they can take some pictures.
Oh, yeah. That's absolutely.
Yep.
All right.
Hey, guys, any
on?
Pictures with the credentials in them, get rid of those. We'll
we're
take
on.
The credentials
yeah, we're on
off.
The air, man.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going.
Yeah, we're on right now. Yeah, welcome in. This is the Horse Racing Happy Hour. Mike Andolfo. I'm Louis Ribeau. Jonathan Schell joins us here from the he's the Commissioner of Agriculture in the state of Kentucky. Go ahead.
What does horse racing mean to, like, your? How does horse racing fit into your job?
So with us, we focus on the agriculture side of horse racing. So when you think about everything that culminates throughout the year to get to this point, to get to this race, to get to the biggest stage in horse racing, to get to the wow moment of the world here in Kentucky, you're talking about the groomers, the trainers, the breeders, the ones that put the hay out, the people who feed them the oats and get everything ready. You're talking about the Holloway feeds that every single day there's people that are out there working in agriculture to make these moments happen so people can wear the pretty dresses and the hats, to wear the suits and look nice, to place the bets. And so that's where we come in, is we work with our agribusinesses and our farmers throughout the state of Kentucky. Something really neat that I don't know if you all know, but if you look through your program and you look at the book, on every single page, whenever you look at a race, you'll see a Kentucky Proud logo beside of different horses.
Oh.
And that indicates that that was a Kentucky-born, Kentucky-bred horse. And so in your race packets today, as you're looking and you're trying to figure out which horse to bid on or to bet on, if you see that Kentucky Proud logo, that means that's a Kentucky-bred horse.
Love it. Love the Kentucky-bred aspect of it. Does the bourbon world also fit into you as well?
Yeah, so we work in conjunction and tandem with the bourbon industry through the agriculture side, which is the corn, beans, wheat, all the row crop side of it. We've got a booming industry in bourbon today, and it's a big part of what happens here on Derby Day. And when you look at bourbon across the state of Kentucky, the thing that we focus on is where there is a bourbon distillery in a local community, it usually increases the amount of corn production by 300%.
Wow.
Because they're buying locally from those local farmers, and it makes a huge impact. And when you think about bourbon as a whole, I think the statistic's correct that bourbon is 5% of the world's whiskey. People ask me all the time, is there an end to the bourbon boom? Well, you tell me. If it's only 5% of the world's whiskey, you just add one more percent and think about the economic growth that happens in the industry just for Kentucky. Our largest export is bourbon. Our second largest export is bourbon adjacent. So any kind of white oak, barrels, all the byproducts from barrel, that's our second largest export.
Wow.
Our first one is bourbon. And so it's a huge industry here, not only for the agriculture side, but also for the forestry side.
For on the horse racing side, you know, we've got this great circuit now in Kentucky, Lexington, Florence, here, you know, down on the Tennessee border, out in out at Ellis Park as well,
yep.
Down to Franklin, that's right. You know, just watching the growth of that circuit and the emphasis nationally on it, I compare it kind of to in college sports, we're watching that Pac-12 kind of fall apart, move to the middle of the country, watching teams want to be in the Big Ten, want to be in the SEC. Kentucky's becoming that place for horse racing. Yep. What's your role in that, then?
You know, I would say, I would argue that Kentucky's been that place for horse racing. We are the horse capital of the world here in Kentucky. I'll tell you something interesting that you may not know. Just thinking about the agriculture side of this, the veterinarian services that we have here are second to none. When you think about Root and Riddle and, I can't think of the other one
UK
right off.
Even? I mean, by Root and Riddle for sure, yeah.
But there's another one. The way they compare it to, or tell me, is that it's like having the Mayo Clinic, two Mayo Clinics in Kentucky when you think about cancer research. And so that's the reason they'll have them airbussed in from the Middle East and other countries just to have veterinarian services done here at these world-renowned veterinarian clinics. And so we've got the tracks, we've got the horses, we've got the breeders, we've got the owners, we've got the trainers, we've got the veterinarians. We have everything that it takes to create the economy and the industry around horse racing right here in Kentucky.
How do you keep that going?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Keep it going. No, it's good. Yeah, keep going.
One of the things that we talked about a lot on the show is that people don't understand how many people are employed because of horse racing in the state of Kentucky.
Well,
and how important that is to the
economy. I asked the CEO of Churchill Downs yesterday how many people it takes to run these two-day events. He said 12,000 people between the food services, between the extra people they bring in, the police officers, the security. 12,000 people are here today that are working to service 150,000. He said normally they only employ 250, so these are added additional jobs that are going on. And that's not even to count all the groomers and all the things that come in throughout the season of the year. I mean, the horse industry employs a large number of people. It's a $400 million impact for the state of Kentucky and Louisville just these 2 days.
And then, of course, when you go to the farm, and the stud farms and the employees of the farms and all that stuff. I mean, it's just a massive amount of impact.
And we've got people that, maybe they own the farm, but they board horses that are there. And so you think about like State Representative Matt Cook. He boards a lot of horses that will be racing in the races today and other days. And he won't own them, but he'll have them there boarding them, helping take care of them. Trainers will come in, work on them. It's a really fascinating industry whenever you really peel back, all the money that people see when you peel back all the pretty dresses and the hair and all the things that are there. The industry itself is so important to the economy of Kentucky.
Jonathan Schell here joining us, Commissioner of Agriculture, State of Kentucky. This is a fifth-generation farmer, all right? And he's a younger guy. He's younger than both of us, Louie. I think, what are you, 36?
36, that's right.
So, and
he looks younger than us.
Well, I'll tell you, boys, let me just tell you what happened this morning. I walk into a gas station. I'm aggravating with the clerk up at the front. She sees me, sees my wife, and she says, are y'all going to prom? And I said, ma'am, do I look young enough to go to prom? She said, no, I thought you was taking your daughter.
Oh, man.
My wife's same age as I am.
You married well then, man.
It's bad. It's bad.
I'll tell you what, don't mess around in Louisville. Don't make fun of you. It's a roast battle all the time.
Yeah. This is the guy who's literally coming from the field to the office.
That's right. Yeah.
What made you want to get into politics?
You know, for me, it was just looking at the way things were going back in 2008 when I ran for state representative the first time. Just didn't see the way that I wanted things to go. And, you know, it's hard for me just to sit back and watch things break apart. So I wanted to get my hands on it. I wanted to make a difference. And you know, for agriculture specifically, so many people, if you went through this audience today, so many people are so far removed from the farm, generations removed. Maybe their great-great-grandfather or grandmother at this point were on the farm. we've got to have people that understand and know agriculture to protect the industry away from things that are just lies, deceit, things that people don't understand. You know, if you look on TikTok, you would think that we're poisoning the ground, beating the animals, and eroding the soil, and those things aren't true. We're the best conservationists in the world in agriculture. Our animals are the best sustainability partners for the world there ever has been. And so we need to be able to have the freedom to do what we do, and we need to educate the public on exactly what we are.
Did your wife pick your tie?
She did. Actually, no. The girls in the office picked this out.
How about
my chief of staff bought it.
Yeah, I love it.
She did pick out the suit.
I wanted to ask on the – so, you know, during the backside, we see the governor. We talk to him. We see Jacqueline Coleman. We talk to her, right? And they are very on board. And you know, so I work at ESPN Louisville here in town. And the sports wagering stuff and the horse wagering stuff is such a boon for us. And I know it's so hard to push through it. I know it's not on the agriculture side. Right. But are there initiatives, you know, and that was, look, those were Republican-led bills, right. Got a Democratic governor, right. Signs those immediately. Right. So a lot of work on both sides. Are there things you're working on with the governor right now?
Yeah, so honestly, the governor and I, we get along really well. His cabinet members, we don't have much interaction personally, but the cabinet members, we do. And I'll tell you, the thing that we're working on the most right now is on agriculture as economic development. Mm. And so when you think about what people look at agriculture, a lot of times we think of cows, plows, and sales. It's so much more than that now. What we're working on is how do we build out the agriculture economic developments in this state. One of the things that's interesting that we've got to work on is that when you think about direct job creation of a processor or of a grain elevator or a farm itself, the direct job creation is not quite as high in order to reach the incentives that we have in economic development. And so what we've got to look at is impact. I'll give you an example. The Hopkinsville elevator is a $700 million revenue business, only employs 160 people. $700 million revenue, 160 people. The impact of that is this. If you just put corn and beans on a barge and send it out of the state, you're adding 5 cents a bushel to the value. If you leave it there at the Hopkinsville elevator, you make ethanol, DDGs, all the other things that go along, you're adding a dollar more a bushel to the value. That's 20 times greater value in being able to have the processors here. So what we need to look at is an econometrician model that allows us to use impact rather than direct job creation on agriculture products, because the impact is immense. 3,400 farmers are associated with that elevator that are there. It's a great impact, and it's cross state lines. Unbelievable impact. Same thing with all the other major processors that we have. Same thing with a venue like this.
You talk about that business like people. So I grew up around Detroit, and you talk about like the automakers with the suppliers.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
All the economic impact of those things. That's an interesting way to put it.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you think about Toyota here in Kentucky,
sure.
massive industry. But it supports over 250 other subsidiary businesses associated with it that are suppliers and people bringing into it. It's the same thing in agriculture. The problem is that Toyota plant, thousands of jobs associated. If it was an agriculture business, it'd be hundreds instead of thousands.
Right.
And so we've just got to work on
changing those thresholds.
We've
got to
work on what the thresholds look like. And they've been very willing to talk about it. And the more we can focus on that from an agriculture state, which we are, the better it's going to be for everybody. That means that the less processed, less chemically processed, more locally grown, all the better, healthier, fresher foods. It means healthier population. And a healthy Kentucky is a strong Kentucky.
Will you go back to the farm someday?
He's on the farm right now.
Oh, yeah, I'm on the farm all day.
How about that? Okay,
yeah.
All right.
I mean, he's working. He's living.
Yeah.
He's
no,
living,
man. We run about 1,000 head of cattle on our farm. We have greenhouses, about 2 acres under roof that we do hanging baskets, bedding plants, all those kind of things. I raise 30 acres of pumpkins that we sell in the fall of the year.
Can
I'm
you
actually
be
growing.
A rancher in Kentucky? Does that count? Is it
well,
a ranch?
I don't really.
How does this work?
You don't have. You can only do livestock if you're a rancher. And so we probably
Got
do have
it.
Some ranches,
okay.
But it's not common. But I also, State Fair's coming up
oh,
in
yeah.
August.
Oh, yeah.
Big deal.
We're always
so I got
out
two
there.
Things I'd like to promote while I'm on here.
Absolutely.
One, special needs children are very special to me. I've got a special needs niece that's got Down syndrome. And we've got a sunshine class that shows lambs at the state fair. And we call that, it's the special needs kids that get to come in. We're working on a partnership with Special Olympics Kentucky to get more participation. I want that arena filled up on August 22nd, about 3 o'clock. We're going to do a presentation where we allow the special needs kids to go out. They show an animal just like everybody else, makes them feel special. And I think it's going to be a great thing.
Awesome.
If you can find it, if you can get there, I'd love for people to pack that arena so that they can get them cheered on. Second thing is we do a giant pumpkin contest
nice. That's
in
right.
Kentucky.
Yeah.
It's one of the most well-attended things that we do. I've got 7 plants I'm trying to go drive.
Darn right you do.
And so if you're out there and you want to grow a giant pumpkin, we're doing a commissioner's challenge that you can bring your giant
Fantastic.
Pumpkin to the state fair. And if you beat me, we're going to have a special prize for you. I don't know what it'll be, but we're going to have a special prize.
I've heard it's a cream pie in the face. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe cream
maybe
pie.
That. Yeah,
I was thinking a t-shirt that says, I weigh more than the commissioner.
Oh.
Oh, how about this? You got the derby.
You know, my chief of staff came on Thurby with me, and he
had a good
won.
Time, didn't we?
He had five races that he bet on. He won four of those races. I'm waiting to look over his shoulder. I don't know yet. I'm going to see what he bets.
Yeah. That's a terrible take on Sports Talk Radio.
That's a politician's take on Sports Talk. Yeah.
Well, the Kentucky Bred should win. That's,
yeah, that's right. And don't forget, 20 of the 22 eligible horses for today's Derby are Kentucky proud. Oh,
no, there it is. 100%. There it is.
Yep, well, there you go.
All right, Commissioner Jonathan Schell, man, thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
That area, he's from Garrett County, which is near and dear to my heart now that I have an office in Danville. So there it is.
Oh, okay. I do know where that is. All right. There we go. All right.
We probably need to take a break.
We'll take a break right now. We'll come back with Dr. Chet Mays. We'll get him on the phone, get his pick for Derby. Less political answer, I imagine.
Absolutely.
Is coming
here. But
that was awesome. So I'm glad he jumped on. Thanks, EJ. Thanks to Commissioner for sure. Commissioner Schell. We'll get back here. Want to thank our third partner that we have not mentioned to this point today is my guy, Brian Detman. Injury Law. Two T's, one N. Brian Detman. Injury Law. Go check him out. He's in the Highlands. Got a great office over there. Man, insurance company comes with you with something, maybe a little car accident, something like that. Doesn't seem right. Just get a second set of eyeballs on it. Go check out our guy, Brian Detman, injury lawyer as well. More Horse Racing Happy Hour. We do it next here on ESPN 680, 105.7.
From Churchill Downs for Kentucky Derby 150. It's the Horse Racing Happy Hour on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Here are your hosts, Louis Rabeau and Mike Gandolfo.
All right, welcome back to the Horse Racing Happy Hour on ESPN 680. Mike Gandolfo here with Louis Rabeau. All the people are up here now. It is filling in.
Oh, the glitterati have arrived.
Glitterati, MJ's here. Tony Vannetti's here.
Oh, Tony. Tony Vannetti's here.
I tell you, it's unreal. Okay. We are getting very close to race five.
By the way, there's also a man with just a tissue stuffed in his nose.
That nosebleed, I guess?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to talk to Dr. Chet Mays, though. Is he on the line?
He is, but do we need to remind people of our pick real quick?
Yeah, so race five is coming up here in a couple of seconds. Again, I am on the 10 Big Invasion here. I also think the 8 Mischief Magic has a real shot. Both of those are 9-2 and 5-2. I would much rather get the 9-2 on the 10 horse.
Don't forget about the 4 Motorious.
It's my third hit here. Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Okay. So, Dr. Chet Mays, 2-year sponsor now, man.
More than that, Breeders' Cup, Derby's doing a thing. How about that?
Chet, how's it going?
That's going great. You guys sound like you're having fun there today.
Oh, we're rocking out. It's going great. I talked to an agriculture commissioner. Have you ever done that, Dr. Mays?
No, I didn't even know that existed. So you're always teaching me something. So
how about that?
It.
There you go. Yeah, no problem at all. Dr. Chet Mays on all of the socials, at Dr. Chet Mays, M-A-Y-S, MaysPlasticSurgery.com. Go check them out. Beautiful new location on Exley. I wanted to ask you about that location quickly before we get to the horses. What does that spot allow you to do that you couldn't do at previous spots?
Yeah, so we have almost 13,000 square feet there. So we have the med spa upstairs with everything from massage to facial lasers to injectables. And then downstairs is where I have the plastic surgery area, the clinic where I see all my plastic surgery patients. And then also have two private ORs in-house where I do all my surgical procedures. So we can really do it all from, you know, the superficial facials down to the plastic surgery there in that new facility in St. Matthews.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the important thing is I think people see plastic surgery and they assume that's all that's going on at your place. When you have cryotherapy available, you have those infrared spas, you're going to have a weight loss partner coming up here, lots of different things, good things going on over there at Mays Plastic Surgery.
Yeah, it's about having a variety of services for people because, you know, not everyone wants to have the big plastic surgery procedure where you're down for 4 to 6 weeks, but, you know, everyone likes a little skin care, make their skin look a little better. Like for the Derby, you know, a lot of people are coming in, get their Botox and their fillers and their facials to get their skin nice and clear for those Derby photos when they win all that money after the finish line.
There you go. Well, he is Dr. Chet Mays, at Dr. Chet Mays on all the socials. Go find them. New location over there on Exley. Frankly, it's worth it to just show up and say, hey, can I get a tour? But don't do that. Don't do that. That's just me talking on the radio, people. Be better. Be better than that. We're trying to have a civilization. You understand me? Chet, when you are from the state of Kentucky, you're a U of L guy. Like Derby Day, do you just tell people, hey, leave me alone, I'm watching a race?
Yeah, you know, it used to be that way, but, you know, I got 3 kids now, so I'm trying to teach them the tradition. I was just out this morning. I was going to post a picture about it. I was looking at my mint I have growing outside just to make sure I can make a fresh mint julep at home. But, yeah, I like to come out the track, too. But this year, you know, it's more of that hosting things in my house for friends and family. So what I typically do these days when it comes to derby time.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that. I think around the country, I posted a picture the other day, Chet, for example, our kids happen to go to school together. You know, like the mini derby at school, I think people around the country don't know how much the derby permeates the culture, frankly, for about a month around here. And one of those things that always stands out, you're not the only guy growing mint in his backyard. It's that little stuff that really makes Louisville special around the derby.
Oh, yeah, just really Kentucky proud. And you know, the city does a great job of really exposing what we have here for everyone. And I just really enjoy all the festivities that build up today, the 150th. So it's got to be something special for you all there. I'm sure you're taking it all in today. It's got to be beautiful.
We've had a bunch of great guests so far, and guys that I know have been to probably more derbies than I'll be able to attend in my life, which is really, really great. Race 5 about to go off here at Churchill Downs. Hopefully get another on-top winner with Big Invasion, the 10. We shall see as they make their way on the backside of Churchill Downs right now. We've got a nice little pick three we're going to play going into the Derby, and we always include your pick in the Derby as part of our wager, Dr. May. So who do you have in this year's Derby?
You know, you and I talked earlier last week. We were going over some horses, and yeah, is the track pretty sloppy from yesterday, or how's the track looking?
No, it looks perfect. It is totally dried out, yes.
Yeah, because, you know, we were talking about sloppy tracks. You tell me about Mystic Dan, loves those sloppy tracks when we talk, but if that track's drying out, you know, one of the favorites up there, Sierra Leone, I think that's where I'm going to put my money for the race.
All right, so we will keep Sierra Leone in our tickets then today. So the 14's going to come home here. My goodness, what's the price here? My gosh. The 14 here is, Cogburn. Yeah, sure, that's a horse that hasn't run here before, but is a very fine sprinter. Ired Ortiz will win the race there for Steve Asmussen. Last race at Kentucky Downs in September. First off the bench. Oh, my. How about that? So we will throw Sierra Leone into our pick three ticket as well. Did you get to watch the Oaks yesterday, Dr. Mays?
Oh, I did. It was a wet one.
It was a wet one. Yeah, how about that? And you came out on Tuesday. I wanted to ask, you came out on Tuesday for that 5-0 Tuesday. You've done that now 2 years in a row with your staff. Do you guys have a great time on that day?
Oh, yeah. We did it last year, and we just really had a good time. And this year, we're doing that again. So that is definitely an annual tradition at Mays Plastic Surgery. Now that we have that 13,000-square-foot facility, I have a lot more employees, about 25 employees now.
Wow.
So
that's great.
Every year I gotta win big to pay for that bill we do every year when we come out to the track now. So
there you go. Well, all right. Well, he is Dr. Chet Mays, M-A-Y-S, at Dr. Chet Mays on all of the socials. Go check him out. Go check him out on Instagram if you want to see what I look like as well, part of that seminar, a little back and forth that he did over there at that office, that beautiful new space on Exley in St. Matthews, around the corner from the old Sears building where the Havana Rumba used to be. How about that?
Near the old Sears tower.
There you go.
Old Sears building.
The old Sears building. Dr. Mays, we appreciate you very much. Have a great Derby day.
Always a pleasure, guys. Good luck today. Enjoy it. 150th. We'll see you soon.
All right. Thank you. There you go. Dr. Chet.
All right, Chet. We'll see you later.
Look at you messing with levels.
How about that? All right. So,
did you just turn me all the way off?
No, you're not four, are you?
Oh, the mic's not for you. Right. Oh, look at you. Look at you being smart. How about that?
Yeah.
It actually has the clip on it, so we're good.
Okay, yeah.
I did that on purpose.
We are going to we're going to go through the Derby field a little bit more.
We got to keep going. That's right.
We got to keep going. So we're going to where we left
off
last.
We're on 2 if you're joining us. This is the Horse Racing Happy Hour.
We are.
You're Mike Gandolfo.
I was.
And now you are?
Still Mike Gandolfo.
How about that? Yeah. I'm Louis Ribeau, at Big Mike Gandolfo for him, at Radio Louis for me. The show's at Horse Happy Hour. You can go find us there. If you want to play alongside with us, everything is available. Tanner, go ahead and hang him up. Everything is available there at goldbookbets.com. Get in with us today if you
live
want to
Live radio,
out.
Baby. Live
there
radio.
There you go. Oh, sorry.
All right, we're on the 7 horse. This is Honor.
Oh, your bud.
Honor Marie here is with Ben Kerr's board. Local trainer, Sanex Mafia, Whit Beckman. Is the trainer. We got to talk to Whit a little bit yesterday.
Yes,
this is, of course, is a feel-good horse. It's getting bet that way. 20-1 on the morning line. Now at 12.
Oh my God! We had the 14 in the pick three.
We did. look at that. Okay. You hit it, man. You hit it.
No, we didn't hit that pick three. We didn't hit that one though. Right? We missed the middle.
Did we hit it again?
We missed the second leg. Right.
Okay.
So we're 5-6 on the pick three list.
Okay.
Got it. Yeah.
Honor Marie, Louis. I mean, I think we would all love for Whit to win this race.
No question.
But. where do you put it?
I think he's up against it for sure. And look, and Dan talked about it a little bit. And Dan talked about it, frankly, in a way that I hadn't really thought about, which is why I love having other people on to help me out here. But look, I mean, Honor Marie, if he's right and that Louisiana Derby actually wasn't what I think it is, and, you know, Catching Freedom is just one of these horses that was going to always win that race, that maybe his second place finish there isn't that impressive.
Right.
Now, there were some issues in the barn this week with availability of different people and things as well. On the Anna Marie side, I do wonder about that as well. I wonder how much local money he's getting.
He's got a lot.
Right? And so that's kind of a problem as well.
Yeah.
Ben Curtis, first time in the Derby. I'm trying not to hold that against jockeys too much. I've said that too much, I think, this week. By the way, I think I've been a little unfair, a little over the line with Keith Asmus.
Okay.
Because I think I've mentioned it too many times that I'm worried about him in this spot. And so I need to stop because I just did it again. But Ben Curtis gets up here. But we talked about this a lot. Euro jockeys, big fields, they're not scared by them. They're used to them, frankly, from being overseas. This is Ben Curtis's first full calendar year in the United States, riding in Fairgrounds first and then up here for Wade Beckman in this spot. Did ride this horse for the first time ever in that Louisiana Derby, and it was his best finish. So I know you love that jockey-horse relationship sort of handicapping angle. If you wanted to lean into it, it's that, right? It's that. And frankly, we talked about it with Danny Gargan. Why can't it be true for Whit Beckman? Growing up watching this race, wanting to get that saddle cloth that says Kentucky Derby, you know, has a starting spot in the gate for those workouts, getting that little yellow, that neon yellow sort of, you know, saddle cloth.
Well, I think that your hardest Derby horse is probably your first one, right?
Yeah, that's
After
right.
that, you're more likely to get the second, especially with how young Whit is.
And the good news for him, that's exactly right. I don't think it doesn't matter today for the future of his career how this horse wins.
Right.
Or runs, excuse me. If he runs 10th, people say, well, he got a horse to the Derby.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
Right.
He's based in Louisville. I want to be on the Kentucky circuit. They're going to come to Whit Beckman for it.
I love it. The 8 horse is a horse lightly raced, just a touch, coming off the second place finish in that Bluegrass. Frenchie and Brad Cox, man, I mean, you're going to get double-digit odds on Frenchie and Brad Cox, but you're also only at 10-1 on a horse that's not won a stakes race yet. So,
yeah.
I mean, I go back and forth on this horse. The final fractions do not like this horse, though.
Yeah, was not fast finishing in the Bluegrass, right? So was passed. And here's what I always wonder when that happens. Did Florent Giroux look back and see that they were okay and just not press anymore?
Maybe, I don't know.
You know, I always wonder about those kinds of things, like save the horse a little bit. No need to, like, absolutely push through. But they also needed the points.
Yeah.
So they did have to finish. So my guess is actually they did push, right? And so I'm wondering with this horse, can he get the distance? Can he be a winner? Ironically, like his dad, didn't run as a 2-year-old, has run 3 times coming into this race, just like Justify. Okay, but Justify was undefeated coming into this race.
Correct.
Won a 100-point race coming into this race.
Big difference.
A massive difference. I will let Just a Touch beat me today. I've heard his name a lot. He has turned into absolutely one of the buzz horses this
absolutely,
week.
Absolutely, no doubt about
and
it.
And so, I understand it too. Mom's by Tappet. Justify's his dad. He's trained by Brad Cox. It's Frog Giroux. Like, all those things make sense for him to be very competitive in the Kentucky Derby, which is why I'm tossing him, I guess.
This is kind of the mage we talked about of last
year. This is the
year.
Mage of this year. I agree with you on that, yes.
Nine and
Was
Cena.
I the first person to say that, by the way?
Actually, I think I was. And
no way, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Good.
Yeah, all right. But that's okay. You know,
as long as it was on this show, I don't care.
It was on this
Good.
Show.
Good.
Encino.
By the way, the track looks, it's totally fine.
Let's see. Are they rating it? Yeah, let me see. It still says muddy on here, man.
I wonder if that's just the
end. No. It's the turf's good. They're saying the track's muddy. So
it's
we'll
not
see.
Muddy. They got the rakes out. That's all how right. I know it's not muddy.
9 Encino is scratched. That was the winner of the Lexington Stakes. Not surprised. I mean, the horse, it's hard to come back after that Lexington Stakes and still be 100%.
Unfortunately, a leg injury.
Yeah.
It's going to sideline him for a month. I hate that for the horse.
But actually, the horse is going to run again, more than likely.
No question. Yeah. But I hate that he's going to miss out, because I think it could have been simple if it was like, yeah, he's just not ready to go to Baltimore and be ready for that race. Because his style, I think, actually works for I say that. I think it'd be okay for Baltimore. I think he'd at least get a piece. I hate that he's going to have to take a full month off in the middle of his 3-year-old development, because look at the buyers. 68, 89, 94. That's a climbing horse, getting better. Classic Brad Cox stuff, of course, right? And so, yeah, no, just kind of disappointing he's not here.
And Encino, a horse that we could see at the Indiana Derby?
Ooh. If he's back in form by then, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're talking about early June being able to get back in form. Gives about a month to be ready for that race. Be a tough spot to land back in.
All right. I kind of like it, though. So that's going to take us to the Japanese contingent. We got 2 horses.
I'm going
to
let you talk about this.
From Japan. Both of them coming in totally different ways. TO Password, the 10, coming as the road to Japan's road to the Derby.
Yeah,
the
Fukuraya winner.
And again, with Encino being scratched,
yep,
that means he'll be the 10 horse, but out of the 9 spot. And then 11, Forever Young, who won the UAE Derby, will be in the 10 spot. That's important, Louis, because of why?
Because he doesn't load first, he loads last. He spends the least amount of time in the starting gate of any horse in the field. And so that's a big difference to go in first and wait for 9 other horses to load to your right and 9 other horses to load to your left. At the same time, they do 2 lines of loading for that 20-horse gate.
Right.
I should clarify that part. And well, so TO Password will now go in 9th.
Yeah.
And he was going to go in 10th, and Forever Young now will go in 10th instead of 1st, which is a massive difference.
It's
right.
A huge difference. We had Kate Hunter on.
Yes, Kate.
Earlier this week. She's basically the American liaison to Japanese racing. Like, she's the person.
For Churchill Downs.
For
this weekend, she works for Churchill Downs.
She works for Churchill Downs, correct.
Week, yes.
But she also advocates for all those trainers
and
all those horsemen over there, trying to give them a shot.
And frankly, she's working on the policy level with the Japanese government. She's doing everything.
Unbelievable stuff she's doing.
That's on the podcast center. If you want to, that doesn't have to be before the Derby to listen to that. That's just an interesting interview.
It really is.
Yeah, it's just an interesting
interview. If you really get an idea of how, they're trying to have a bigger influence over here.
Right.
I think they got their best shot here, Louie. And I think both of these horses could be live. I'm going to be surprised if TO Password, but TO Password looks the part.
I agree with that.
Like, passes the eyeball test.
I agree.
Like, has the classic Derby body. We really have very little to go off.
Body.
Very little to go off. Won the Fugurayu, and that's it. That got him into the race, and they shipped him over. Typically, they don't ship unless they think they have a shot. I mean, we haven't had a lot of
Japanese
shippers.
Especially from that route, from the Fukuraya, right. Yeah, from the UAE opposite, right? But in this case, TO Password coming over from the Fukuraya was unusual. You're right.
But,
you should talk about it, man, because you are in love with how this horse looks.
I mean, really, I really am. And Kate,
I'm not picking on you, by the way.
No.
I appreciate it because that's one of the reasons you come out on the – honestly, for me, so you and I have different motivations, I think, for watching horses breeze, work out, whatever. I'm looking for they don't like it here.
That's usually what I'm doing.
Okay, cool. Okay.
I'm looking for how
I feel like so many people are trying to figure out who looks good here. This is Churchill Downs. A lot of horses look good here, right? They just do. This surface is so it's at the middle point of so many different tracks. It seems to really fit a lot of horses. So I don't look for who looks good. I look for the rare case that they don't look good. Because when you handicap the Derby, you have to start with who's not going to win.
With the one exception for both of us.
Which is?
Serengeti Empress.
What about her?
We came out here and she looked amazing.
Well, that's because I just saw her butt. She had a very big butt.
And she glided across the track.
Well, that's also true. Yeah, the butt was way more important.
I mean, I would agree with you, Louie. Like, I'm coming out here saying who's digging deeper, who's breaking their ankle tape, you know, who doesn't seem like they're just taking to the surface as well. And in this case, I look at TO Password and he's like, man, this horse just looks like he could really be something. And when Kate was talking about the financials it takes to get these horses over from Japan over to the United States, man, it is not a cheap endeavor.
It's also why, by the way, all of the little things, and we talked about these on the show. So TO Password, his day starts in the quarantine barn, which is surrounded by concrete because usually horses don't stay there.
Right.
They're just there for a very short amount of time until the testing's done to make sure they're not bringing in a disease from another place, right? Because the last thing you need is an outbreak at a place like Churchill Downs with a bunch of $1 million, $2 million, $3 million horses. And frankly, down to the $10,000 claimer. That horse doesn't need to get sick. There's no reason for that if you can avoid it. So they have something called a quarantine barn. You ship in from somewhere else, you land there, the vet checks you out, and then you get passed through. Well, there's an outbreak of an STD, frankly, in Japan going on right now, that they just cannot trust those horses to be amongst the general public. So when you see them walking in the mile chute, that's actually what they would usually be doing in a barn that isn't concrete surrounding.
Right.
Right? And so these horses have to get out on the mile chute just to stretch their legs. And so we see them doing the ovals and the figure eights, thank you. The infinity sign, if you will, those kinds of things. And I think people look at that and they go, wow, what a different style that is. When really it's just a reality of that thing. To me, it's just too much to overcome. I think it's just too much to overcome. And I think I think for both. And I think that's
You're
why
off. Okay.
And I think that's why Kate talked about it that way. and she's so passionate about it because she knows those horses are handcuffed, and it's not Churchill Downs' fault. It's not the USADA's fault. It's not any of the testing over here's fault. It's that Japan won't move on testing on their end.
Right.
And if they would, and she talks about it very, and it's the only reason I'm talking about it this way is because she did. If they were willing to change that, in my mind, if they were next to West Saratoga, in the backside of the Danny Gargan barn, I would feel way different. If they had that little grass patch and they were hanging out and doing the thing and they could just walk around and hang out, I would feel totally different. I just think the constraints on those horses, all the extra little crap they have to do is just too much. Plus the travel, I'm out.
Dan Illman likes the 11 Forever Young.
We're including him in the ticket. I want to be clear. We're including him in the ticket.
Well, you
in my mind,
too, right?
What's that?
You did like him a whole lot. Kind of
I still do. Yeah. I'm just, after talking to Kate, it's like, holy bleep, they got to do that much just to be here? Maybe the horse just doesn't know any better, doesn't care.
What is
that? That would be great. I'd love a Japanese winner this race, by the way.
What is, if one of them hits the board?
Okay. That's a conversation changer.
What does that do for Japanese breeding? Like, are they going back? And is that their deal? Are they Sunday Silence was really the one that kind of went over there and was like the big start to their breeding program. Does one of these horses, start to kind of take that place?
I imagine Forever Young, for example, if he doesn't win the Derby, I imagine he's straight back to the Arabian Peninsula or straight back to Japan, right? I don't think they keep him here for any more of the classic races just because of the constraints.
Yeah.
He's just going to go to the next quarantine barn. Frankly, Mike, you and I have been to Pimlico. I don't even know where the hell that is in Baltimore.
And we were trying to figure it out.
Yeah, right. Does he have to stay at Timonium? Like, I really don't know, right? And I think at some point, like, those constraints are just so overwhelming that the horses, we'll try the Derby, but after that, we're out of there.
You think we'll see either one of these in the Breeders' Cup?
What's interesting is Mandarin Hero last year, for example.
Yep.
Well, I mean, frankly, Derma Sotogake almost won the damn the Saudi Cup, right? I mean, so we're seeing this over and over again. One of those two at the Breeders' Cup. I'll go just because it's long odds. But it is California. If one does, I'll take Forever Young in that group.
Okay. All right, so we kind of just talked about both those horses. I think they're allowed to hit the board, and I think we've talked.
By the way, Forever Young could set up a lot of different things by running second or third. Let's go through the list, by the way, because this isn't insignificant. It'd be the first UAE Derby horse to hit the board. I think that would be really significant.
Absolutely,
the first Japanese bred to hit the board with full Japanese connections. I think that's a bigger deal, frankly. As we talk about the future of horse racing and we brag about the culture around here, the circuit in Kentucky. We also need other places to be great, too.
We do.
And if L.A. is going to bail, if Chicago is going to bail, if whatever else, if those places are not going to be as important as they once were, we need other spots to pop up. Now, the areas around Kentucky, we're watching Indianapolis become a spot. Frankly, FanDuel and St. Louis is starting to pick up a little because you can be there in 4 hours from here. Really interesting watching those things. I think Arkansas is really buoyed by how well it's going here as well, and vice versa. I think Arkansas keeping all that quality there and coming right back to Churchill Downs is a huge thing for the Kentucky circuit. And so we need Japan on that stage, too. And I think it sets that up. I really do. And I think the breeding part, you're totally right about that. I mean, these are horses that even I, right, like Real Steel, that's a horse I know. That's a Japanese bred. That wasn't true 10 years ago.
That's true. And they're coming on the scene faster and faster. All right. Let's thank our partners. Let's get a trivia question.
Okay. Yeah. I'm bad about trivia today.
That's all right. We have unexpected guests.
We do want to thank our partners. And we've been all over the place today. Want to thank, of course, Dr. Chet Mays jumped on with us. Add Dr. Chet Mays on all of the socials, the Kentucky HBPA, KYHBPA.com. Got to talk to Eric Hamelback this week. That's a really interesting interview. If you want to just hear sort of a general take on the state of the sport, especially around Kentucky, but around the country for sure. Heck, we talked about the state of Wyoming this week. How about
that? We did. Yep.
KYHBPA.com. Bunch of great videos and articles ahead of today's Kentucky Derby 150. Check out, of course, our friends up at Horseshoe Indianapolis running right now. So between these races down here at Churchill, get that action. Keep it going up there at Horseshoe. And our friends, of course, why am I totally blanking?
We got Chet, our
KO. That's good. Then my friend, Brian Detman. That's right. Yeah. Two T's, one N. Brian Detman, injury law. Go check him out, of course, on all the socials as well. As I pointed out, fun things for sure going on over there on his socials. Kind of does a Q&A about being an attorney and what happens there. Rich Strike is the second longest odds winner of the Kentucky Derby ever at 80-1. Can you name the horse that was the longest odds to ever win the Kentucky Derby? It was a very, very long time ago. We'll talk about that next on the show, but we got about like 2 minutes here, Mike. You are holding the Kentucky Derby 150.
Because when I see the name, I'll be remember.
Glass.
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
This is a big deal. This is a big deal.
So talk
man.
About those real quick.
All right. So I was actually tipped off earlier this week from someone I know who's high up in the Kroger Corporation. Hopefully didn't just get her in trouble. That they were going to have a – typically the mint julep glass that they have at Churchill Downs, you can buy at Kroger or Meijer or wherever else.
Or like our partners at Cox's Evergreen Liquor.
Or they were available yesterday or at Thurby or whatever else. This Derby glass with gold lettering, frosted, big Derby 150 on front, only available if you're at the track today, and they're going to break whichever ones they don't use. They are creating a collector's item, and it's actually, I think they're a little thicker than they normally are. What do you think?
Yes, no question.
Oh, no question about it. They're trying to make sure that they're not
they
as
break.
Breakable.
Yeah.
Man, these glasses are slapping, right? I mean, they just look.
Slapping's a good term.
Yeah.
And they have the Oaks
fantastic.
Ones, too, that we got yesterday.
We got an Oaks one.
We got
here.
One for my wife yesterday.
Yeah, so we're going to be all set. They're going to go straight to the China cabinet. And who knows, man? Maybe in a couple years, they might be worth something. They'll be right next to my authentic ticket from the Derby that we were here in September. And, you know.
I was thinking about that. I wore this tie to that Derby.
Yeah.
Actually. And
I was judging you because of that. Because, like, why are you wearing the same thing? No, I'm just joking.
Because I'm a man.
I'm messing with you.
Because I'm a man. Yeah, we can do that. I think I wore this shirt this week. I don't care. Anyways, I've had the same shoes on for 33 straight days or something. But, yeah, just the that kind of stuff. They're doing little touches for 150. It's interesting because I thought they might overdo it a little. That hasn't been the case. They really haven't. No, they're really proud of it, obviously. They really have.
Yeah.
Yep, they really have. And you and I have pointed out something as well. It's been really friendly this week. People have been in a really good mood.
Yeah.
And maybe the weather's part of that. I don't know. And maybe just, you know, it was so cold last year. Backside, especially early in the week. It did get beautiful by the time we got to race time.
It's perfect out here right now, man.
This is great. Yeah, this is really, really great. And, you know, track looks fantastic. I think we're going to get fair races today. But it has been. You want to be closer to the front than not on the dirt for sure.
So that's the way it's been. We're gonna take a break again. Our trivia question.
The longest odds on the board, the longest odds ever to win the Kentucky Derby is 91-1. We'll do that. Rich Strike won at 80-1. What is the name of that horse? It was a very long time ago. Text us 502-437-9680, 437-9680 on our UPS.
We got 1 hour left to get through the rest of the handicapping and the rest of the Derby horses.
Yep.
We'll be here for it, and we'll be right back here on the Horse Racing Happy Hour.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.